Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
We're going to take one verse for our text this morning. One glorious verse of Scripture. And it's in Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse 11 says, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." What a verse. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Now, if we truly think about what that verse is saying, that's an amazing verse. That is an amazing verse. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. David said, "My sin is great." It's great. I've thought before about the fact that I'm so glad that my sin is not on record somewhere for everybody to walk up and read. Aren't you so thankful for that? These men and these women in the Scripture, their sin is on record, recorded in God's Word for all of God's children to read. Just turn to it and read. When I think of David, I think of a man after God's own heart. I think of a young boy who was chosen by God to be the king of Israel. I love the story of when Samuel went to Jesse. The Lord told Samuel he was going to anoint the next king. And he went to Jesse and he went through all his sons, thinking, surely these are the ones. And the Lord said, they're not the ones. Samuel asked Jesse, are there any more sons in your house? And he said, well, there's the youngest. He's out keeping the sheep. Samuel said, bring him in. And as soon as David walked into the room, God said, arise, anoint him. He's the one. He's the one. When I think of David, I think of a young boy who had courage. He had courage to fight a lion, fight a bear, fight a giant. When I think of David, I think of a man who brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel. And I have so much respect for David. I do. I love that man. God's chosen king. But the fact of the matter is, David was a sinner. David was a sinner. There's another man in the Scripture named Naaman. And Naaman, he was a great man. He was a mighty man. He won battles. He was a warrior. He brought many victories to his king. But the only problem for Naaman was, he was a leper. He was a rotting, dying man. He was a leper. And that's David. David was a great man. He truly was. But he was a sinner. He was a dying sinner. David lied to get some showbread one time. But he lied to God's priest. He lied to God's priest to go in and get some showbread to eat. And then right after that, to save his own skin, he didn't have faith in God. He didn't trust in his God and wait on his God protect him and provide for him. He didn't practice what he preached. What he did is he pretended to be a madman. He stood against the doors of the gates of the city and he scratched on them. He let spit fall down into his beard. He lied to everybody. He was a coward. And then there was another man named Uriah. David had dealings with a man named Uriah. This was a man who was fighting for David. Literally fighting for David. A devoted soldier of his king. And David took his world. Took his whole world. David was a married man and he committed adultery against his own wife. He committed adultery against Uriah's wife. And then when he was caught, Bathsheba came to David. That was Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. And she came to David and she said, "We have a problem." When he was caught, he tried to cover it all up. He didn't own it. He didn't man up. He tried to cover it up. He tried to get Uriah to go home to his wife. And when Uriah wouldn't do it, he said, "No, my king, I'm going to stand guard at your doorstep defending you. I'm going to be loyal to you. I'm going to be faithful to you." And when Uriah wouldn't go home, David had the man killed. Had him killed. And David's conscience was so seared to it all. He was so seared to it all. He didn't feel one drop of remorse. Not one. Until God in mercy sent him Nathan the prophet. Nathan the prophet came to him and he said, "David, let me tell you about a great sinner." And when Nathan got to the end of his story, David said, "You tell me who that is and I'll make him pay." And Nathan said, "David, thou art the man. Thou art the man." And God's two-edged sword, God's own word, pierced the heart of that sinner. And at that very moment, this is what David cried. In Psalm 51, the heading of that psalm says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba." Verse 1, David cried, "Have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy upon me, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Whatever you do, you're right in doing it. Lord, you're the judge. You're the judge. And I stand before you a guilty sinner. I'm just a guilty sinner. That's all I am." Now back in Psalm 25, verse 11, he said, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." It's great. Now, Let me show you why this verse is so amazing. We said just a minute ago how amazing this verse is. Let me tell you why it's so amazing. Could you imagine a prisoner, just a regular convicted prisoner in one of the prisons near us here? Could you imagine that prisoner going before the judge and saying, "Your Honor, I'm going to beg you for mercy. I'm going to beg you to set me free. And the reason I'm begging you to set me free, to release me, to pardon me," that's what pardon means. It means excuse. "I'm begging you to excuse me. Set me free. And the reason I'm begging for you to set me free is because I'm such a great sinner. That's the reason. My transgressions are so many, and they're so great. And I acknowledge every one of them. Every single one of them. I'm guilty of every single one of them. So I'm asking because of that. Because I'm so bad, so wretched, because I'm such a sinner, and because I'm guilty of every one of them, because of that, I'm asking for you to pardon me." Could you imagine that? Could you imagine a prisoner going before a judge and asking that? Most every prisoner who has ever gone before a judge for pardon goes on the grounds of, "I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty." Or they go on the grounds of, I used to be a sinner. I used to be a transgressor, but I'm not anymore. I'm not anymore. That was then, but not anymore. But this right here is what David is crying. This is what David is crying to God Almighty. He's saying, "I'm the worst. Please set me free. Please set me free." Why? Because I'm the worst. That's why. It's because I'm the worst. Can you hear the Lord God of heaven saying, "Why would I do that? Why on this earth would I do that?" David said, "For thy name's sake. For thy name's sake. I'm asking you to do it for thy name's sake." What is his name? What is his name? Call his name Savior. Call his name Redeemer. Redeemer. Savior. Over in Jeremiah 23, verse 5 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch." And that's Christ. "A righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called. His name is called the Lord our righteousness." You know what's so glorious about that? Let me tell you what's so glorious about that. It does not say the Lord is righteousness, even though he is. Even though he is, it doesn't say that. And it does not say the Lord has earned his own righteousness. even though he has. But what it actually says is, his name is the Lord our righteousness. He is our righteousness. Lord, for thy name's sake, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. I only have one good thing to plead, and it's you. I have no righteousness of my own. You're my righteousness. When I'm asked what makes you worthy to stand in the presence of God, Lord, I'm going to point to you. You're my righteousness. And here's my plea, Lord, I'm begging you to forgive me. I'm begging you to set me free. And here's the grounds for my plea. It's because you came into the world to save sinners. And I'm the greatest sinner I've ever known. That's why I'm begging. It's because you came to save sinners. And I'm the greatest sinner I've ever known. Over in Psalm 103, David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." Every sinner who comes to Christ begging for pardon, and his only grounds being the oppression of his own sin, not the good works that he's tried to do. If a man comes pleading his own good works, it's not going to go well for him. Some men did that in Matthew 7. They came saying, "Lord, we did this, and Lord, we did that." And he said, "Depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you." But any sinner who comes saying, "Lord, I stand here acknowledging all my sin, all of it. I acknowledge all of it. And I've come to you for forgiveness. I've come to you for pardon because of who you are. I've come for thy name's sake." Every sinner who comes on the grounds of being a sinner is going to receive something from the Lord. Every single one of them. The Lord said in Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them." Now this is what he said they get. Every sinner who comes, this is what they get. "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes." Isn't that wonderful? Every sinner who comes standing in the ashes of his own sin is going to receive in exchange for those ashes the beauty of the Lord. He takes our ashes and He gives us His beauty. Verse 3 says they're going to get the oil of joy for mourning. Every sinner who comes shedding the tears of sorrow over his sin. Over his sin. Not just the tears of sorrow. Men and women are sorry about a lot of things. They're sad over a lot of things. But a sinner who comes shedding the tears of sorrow over his own sin is going to receive, for his name's sake, the oil of joy. He's going to receive the balm of Gilead. The joy of the Lord. The joy of forgiveness. The joy of a freed conscience from all that guilt. Totally free from all that guilt. Verse 3 says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. That He might be glorified. He's going to do every bit of that for His name's sake. That He might be glorified. In Jeremiah 31, the Lord said in verse 31, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. I'm going to make a new covenant, a new testament. Right before our Lord went to that cross, He held up the cup and He said, this cup is the new testament in my blood. Before, it was in the law. That covenant was in the law. Now it's in my blood, which is shed for you. I'm going to forgive you. And I'm going to pardon you. I'm going to redeem you. And I'm going to do every bit of that for my name's sake. For the covenant of my blood's sake. I'm going to pay for you in full. And He said in verse 32, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. I'm going to pardon them. I'm going to set them free. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. How is that even possible? He said, I'm going to remember their sin no more. How is that possible? The God who knows everything, the God who knows the end from the beginning, the God who searches and tries the hearts of men and the thoughts of men, how is that possible? Here's how. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I won't even look at you. I won't even look at your deeds. I will keep my eyes on Christ my Son and His precious blood. The blood that covers you. You will be hiding in Him. You're going to be hiding in Him. Now, if you want to be judged on your own works, if a man wants to be judged on his own works, and I'm going to tell you, I don't. men are so proud of their works and they're so self-righteous concerning their works, and they don't want to hear of their works being thrown out. And I don't understand that, because if we want to be judged on our own works, then God won't put us in Christ. We won't stand in Christ, not if we're going to stand on our own. And we'll have to stand beside Christ. And we will have to be compared to Christ. And if we don't meet the standard that He set, then we'll die in our sins. God gave that law as His standard. This is what I demand to enter into my presence. And Christ came and obeyed it perfectly. He fulfilled it perfectly. And God looked at him and He said, "Well done. I am well pleased." And if a sinner does not meet that standard, he'll die in his sins. But if a sinner comes begging to be under the blood, oh, if a man or a woman who knows he or she is a sinner, we've sinned against God. We all ought to know that we're sinners. And I'm going to tell you this morning, if you and if I come begging to be under the blood, if we realize that's our only hope, if we come begging to be robed in His righteousness, Lord, because You earned that righteousness, and because we know that You will give it to the sinner in need, we know that You're going to give it to every soul that God the Father put in You. We know that every sinner that God chose is going to be drawn to You. Every sinner is going to come. Every knee is going to bow. And so, Lord, because You are the righteous one, because You earned it, and because You'll give it, we come begging. Any sinner who comes to Christ like that, the eye of God Almighty is going to be fixed on the payment Christ made for that sinner. And his sins are going to be forgiven. He's going to be pardoned. He is going to be set free. He's going to be excused. And there will be no more sin to remember. None. Because Christ put it away. He put it away. That is the only way to come to Christ. It's as a sinner. That's the only way a sinner will be accepted, if he comes acknowledging what he is. "I'm a sinner, begging for Thy name's sake. Oh, for Thy name's sake, Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it's so great." Our Lord said, "All who come to me like that, I will in no wise cast out." So here's what we have to say based on the Word of God. Come, ye sinners. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will pardon you from your sins.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message, or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.